Commentary is for general information purposes only. Clients should seek professional advice for their particular situation.
Are we there yet?
Skittish investors who had been nervous about a policy mistake by the U.S. Federal Reserve now also seem concerned about President Putin. As of time of recording on February 22nd, President Putin has recognized the independence of two breakaway pro-Russian regions in eastern Ukraine and ordered Russian soldiers to deploy into the self-proclaimed republics of Donetsk and Luhansk, saying they were going as peacekeepers. Developments in the region will likely contribute to volatility going forward. Oil prices reflect this concern, as oil, measured by WTI, has increased approximately 40% since the beginning of December on concerns of a disruption in Russian energy supplies. Geopolitical events do have an impact on the short term. Look back to 2014 when Russia annexed Crimea. The S&P 500 index fell by approximately 6% leading into the event. But what are the odds of a geopolitical event impacting performance beyond the short term? Join me, Makan Nia, co-chief investment strategist, and my colleague, Kevin Hedlund, as we answer these questions and more. Listen on. This is Investments Unplugged. Welcome back to Investments Unplugged. I'm your host, Makan Nia, and joined here by my co-host, Kevin Hedlund. So,
how's it going?
As if this year we've got off to a very interesting start. Let's quickly review our 2022 outlook, where we thought that the path for returns were going to be positive, but there were going to be some pit stops along the way, some expected, and one that we highlighted was when there's a pivot around central bank policy from one that is ultra accommodative to one that is less so, and historically that has led to volatility. We saw that unfold over the first 6 weeks of the year. Now we're taking a pit stop, and this one is more geopolitical in nature and what is unfolding in Eastern Europe right now, specifically Eastern Ukraine. As of the time of this podcast recording, it is February 22nd. After the weekend, and we saw increase in escalation between those two countries, Ukraine and Russia, with Russia officially really recognizing Luhansk and Donetsk as really separate states, and really investors and the global community concerned about, is this a pretense to a full-blown invasion or further incursions to within Ukraine? Now, a lot to go on, a lot to answer, but I thought it would be really good in terms of really what's happening, and we kind of really highlighted that what's happened. I think the second question is, what's the likelihood of further escalations and what impact that may have on broader equity markets? And we're going to take the investor standpoint to this, right? This is the context of this podcast. And then last but not least, and I think this is where it's very interesting, is looking at history. When it looks at looking at geopolitical events, whether they're military or not, and the impact that has had on not only the near-term market performance, but more importantly for us, medium to long-term investors. Now, we highlighted in terms of what has happened. I think, Kev, today it's Monday, and you're seeing the impact it's having on volatility. Futures sold off 2%. We started the morning, and we were actually pretty flat. We gained all that back. We were flat, and there was hopes that really just this was the extent of it. And then by mid-afternoon, we had an announcement that President Biden was going to come and have a press conference. Market sold off again, 2%. And then within an hour later, we have got the first round of sanctions, which they are targeting Russian banks. And markets have actually recouped a lot of those losses, and we are near even. So it just points to the volatility that geopolitical events and this event specifically is going to have in the near term. And more importantly, the impact that it's having on our end clients in terms of these headline news and the corresponding impact on markets.
Yeah, I think whenever you see any type of geopolitical event or any headline risk, the markets hate uncertainty. And I think the key is, are we going to see contagion impacts? Are we going to see effects to the broad-based fundamentals, right? Is this going to create some uncertainty in global recession fears or whatnot, and how does it really impact the underlying fundamentals of the stock market? And I think that's what you're seeing right now is every news, as the headlines change, you're seeing markets move and adopt, and it is impossible to predict the outcome of this geopolitical event or the market's movement during the geopolitical event.
It's interesting to me. Well, we were on a client call earlier this morning, and it seems that over the past year and a half, we've all become professional epidemiologists, right? Past year and a half, and over the past really 2 weeks, all of a sudden, we're all getting our doctorates on Eastern European history. As you said, it is nearly impossible to get into the mind of the heads of state, whether it's Ukraine or Russia, or specifically what is Putin's end game. I think that's a very dangerous game type, really try to forecast. I think, too, what the narrative over the past couple of days, whether it's from the head of Ukraine or whether it's from President Biden, it's very fluid. And I don't even know if they know what the actual end game is likely going to be. Question we always ask ourselves is this likely going to be a disruptive event or is it going to be a destructive event? Now, the former, a disruptive, it will lead to short-term volatility, but unlikely to really bleed into the medium-term or long-term performance. The destructive narrative is the one that is dangerous for investors. And I think in this context, Kev, it's that Russian forces keep moving eastward towards Kiev. They come through Belarus and it starts getting other NATO countries involved, primarily Poland. And does that bring NATO into a full-on escalation with Russia? Does that bring in the US? And I think what the market's already priced in is what's happened right now. Now we are all trying to figure out the odds of this leading to a full-blown escalation. Not to put your geopolitical hat on, because this is really tough to do, but do you think this is more likely a disruptive or destructive?
I have no background in geopolitics whatsoever, so what I like to do is go back and look at history. Other events that we've seen, no two geopolitical events are alike, but there seems to be some type of narrative there that follows, right? We often see that history doesn't repeat itself, but it does rhyme. And when you look at the last two material geopolitical events, the S&P 500 sold off on average roughly 5% and recovered that drop in roughly 40 days. So, 40 days, it's almost two full months of business days, if you calculate 20 days per month of business days. So 2 months to recover, that it seems, a lot. And when you're in the middle of it, it seems like it's never going to end. But we have seen recoveries, and this seems to be happening. Maybe some events take longer to play out. We go back to when Russia annexed Crimea. That was expected to be a full-blown invasion, next step, and World War III talking about it. We've had other issues other times when people have been talking about the next World War that's going to happen. And again, the market sold off 6% leading into the event, and then the S&P 500 was up for the rest of the year, point to point. So history suggests that it's disruptive, not destructive. Obviously, we're not living the issues, so it is we don't feel it. But from a market perspective and from an investor perspective, our Canadian clients, I think this is a disruptive event and we should be taking advantage of the volatility created in the marketplace.
We have a recent history example of this between Russia and Ukraine, and that was the annexation of Crimea back in 2014. And as you illustrated, or as you said, that market sold off actually 6% going into the actual annexation. And once actually Russian troops crossed those borders, actually markets started recovering, right? Markets are forward-looking. We see that with multiple examples, and we'll talk to those in a bit. But I look at the likelihood of this leading to a full-blown escalation between really Western Europe and Russia. And I look no further than the reliance of these two areas on each other, specifically when it comes to commodities and Russian gas. So when you look at Germany, for example, or Italy, they rely on 50% of their gas supply from Russia. So it is not in their best interest to be in a long, drawn-out war with someone that is providing the material for you to heat your homes. You look at Poland, it's 40%. France is a little bit lower at 24%, but they're very reliant on each other. And Russia is reliant on those European customers for its natural gas. It's not easy to divert that natural gas to another customer, especially with these large amounts. So when I just look at the reliance on each other, it makes one think that the likelihood of this leading to a full-blown escalation is less likely. And what Putin is trying to do, again, who knows? Obviously, I think he's trying to get concessions, whether it's from the pipeline or things of that nature. But again, when we look at this, we think that it's more likely of a disruptive event. I know S&P right now is nearing that correction territory of 10%. We would be advocating to clients to take advantage of this volatility if it suits your risk profile, because history would suggest it is unlikely that we will be talking about this after the summer of this year. Let's look at past history events. So, Kev, you talked about those 22 geopolitical events that occurred and how quickly markets reacted and when they sold off. I'm going to highlight some statistics about actual geopolitical but military events, because I think this is much more aligned with what's happening today. And there's roughly, I think, 15 of them going back to, I think, the early 40s. And what you see is before the event, whether it's 1 week before, 1 month before, or 3 months before, market performance leading into those are weak. You have an average sell-off of roughly 1.5% to 2%, depending on that timeline. But when you look out 1 week after, or 1 month after, or 3 months after, and then 1 year after, you notice that the average return, let's say 1 month after these events, is 1%. I'm going to use round numbers, Kev. 1%. The average 3 month return is 4%. And 12 months later, or 1 year later, it's roughly 8%. And the odds of being positive 1 year later is closer to that 75 to 80%. So again, very much in line with market dynamics of odds of being positive. So if we were to take this as an example, I would say, again, history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. And this is likely to be one of those shorter term impacts on the market. And I still believe the bigger risk to market returns this year is not this Ukraine-Russia development. It's still the Fed. It's still inflation. That is more of a risk for returns this year. And we have highlighted over and over again over the past couple of weeks through podcasts, through written notes, we still think that we are taking the under. And actually, Kev, it's funny, since we recorded the last one in terms of the rate hike, which was at 5%, now it's gone up to close to 6-7%. So again, are we going to take the over or the under? And if we were under at 5%, we're going to be even more, we'll take the under on 7%. So we still think that the backdrop from that perspective will remain positive for equities and bonds as we work through 2022. And another thing I was thinking about too, Kev, we've seen oil prices increase, obviously, because Russia is such a big, I think it's the second largest producer, go through the list. Does this increase the odds of us being right in terms of the under? Does the Fed want to be raising rates materially on the backdrop of oil prices at 90 to 95 with the risk of it going up, potential slowdown? I actually only think that this actually improves our odds of being correct from the over-under perspective.
I would say the other issue that we see now with oil prices is that inflation is going to be much more enduring. You know, the one aspect of inflation that we expected to slow this year or have less inflationary pressure is the change in oil prices. You know, oil prices, WTI doubled last year. They're up 50% or so so far this year. We didn't expect them to be up this high already. You know, I do expect it to slow somewhat, but if inflation numbers come out even higher, does now the Fed look and we have to raise rates faster? Now, they can't control the price of oil because it's supply driven right now. But just interesting, as you say, one aspect, they don't want to raise rates when there's global economic uncertainty, but they may want to raise rates faster because inflation is higher. So it's quite interesting that it'll be interesting to see what they say come their minutes, I think, in a couple weeks.
But you would agree, though, if we believe that this is a short-term impact on really commodities markets, that once this geopolitical risk dissipates, that oil prices should move back down. And then as a result, those inflation expectations come back into line in terms of what we're thinking. And then maybe just creates a moment of pause for the Fed in terms of, okay, maybe they do raise in March, but then they pause because they want to see the impacts of what's happening today. But I think bringing it back to the geopolitical event, the headline risks are very ominous. They are scary. And we're only taking the investment perspective of this, because if you are on the ground there as a civilian, this is obviously much more scary than what we are experiencing here in North America, obviously. But we're looking at it from an investment perspective. History would suggest that this type of short-term volatility that comes around these geopolitical events, primarily that are military perspective, are often short-lived, and markets more often than not, looking at whether it's 1 year later or further, they refocus back on the fundamentals. And this is just really a blip on the radar.
Yeah, just bringing back to the volatility, you know, if we use the VIX Volatility Index as a measure of volatility, we've talked about this before. When it crosses 30, this is a level that is showing there's a lot of fear or uncertainty in the marketplace. It crossed 30 briefly today. It's since bounced back. But just a reminder that when it does cross 30, history has shown that it's a really good time to invest. You know, when we've had it since 1990, when the VIX has crossed above 30, the forward 6-month return is 13%. The 1-year return is 22.5% roughly. And the 2-year annualized return is roughly 15%. So when we do get these bouts of volatility, and when you're in the middle of it, it is scary and hard to invest. But history has shown if you can, it's a good time to invest and keep your eye on the future. Keep your eye on the destination, right? We keep talking about our road trip and our destination in mind. You know, the trip can be bumpy. You know, there could be problems along the way. You know, children saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Well, we're not there yet, but we got to keep our focus on that destination. And I think it still remains a very attractive destination for 2022.
Absolutely. So any last thoughts on what's happening?
It makes our job exciting, man. Every day, wake up and read the news and see what's going on, see the markets. You know, that's one thing I love about this job and this sector or whatever you want to call it. It's interesting. There's never a dull moment, I don't think.
Yeah, and absolutely. I couldn't agree more with you in terms of that aspect. But I think it's very important for investors to take a step back, really shut out the headline news because it's all going to be negative. And think back in terms of similar types of events that we have made through. So whether it was the first time that Russia annexed Crimea. Now that didn't lead to an escalation, but the war of words between President Donald Trump at that time and really North Korea, and there was nuclear risk at that point. We can go back further. Remember ISIS. There was fear of ISIS and markets sold off. There are countless examples of geopolitical events that have led to short-term volatility in markets. But more often than not, these are disruptive events. They are not destructive events. And that's what we need to focus on as investors, because if this is a disruptive event, it's going to be short-term in nature. And one should take advantage of the uncertainty and the volatility that a disruptive event has provided us. So with that, Kev, let's keep it short and sweet. I wanted to reach out to our listeners. Almost daily, we are getting positive feedback from our listeners. And we're always happy and somewhat humbled by the positive feedback. We often think that this goes off into a black hole. And it's nice to get the positive feedback. Again, getting 10,000 listeners last year was a milestone for the podcast. So we wanted to thank you for listening, to continue to listen. Very important for you to rate us. If you think this is a worthwhile podcast, please rank us. It helps us with the rankings where we can show other like-minded investors that there is a podcast available. So thank you so much. And with that, I am Makan Niam.
And Kevin Hedlund.
Thank you for listening to Investments Unplugged.
Copyright Manulife. Commentary is for general information purposes only and shouldn't be relied on for specific financial, legal, or other advice. It does not constitute an offer or an invitation by or on behalf of Manulife Investment Management to any person to buy or sell any security.
Opinions expressed are those of Manulife and or the sub-advisor of Manulife Investment Management and are subject to change based on market and other conditions. Any Manulife funds mentioned are available to Canadian investors only. Manulife isn't responsible for any losses arising from any use of this information. Manulife funds are managed by Manulife Investment Management Limited, formerly named Manulife Asset Management Limited. Manulife Investment Management is a trade name of Manulife Investment Management Limited. Commissions, trailing commissions, management fees, and expenses all may be associated with mutual fund investments. Please read the fund facts and prospectus before investing. Mutual funds are not guaranteed. Their values change frequently, and past performance may not be repeated. This information does not replace or supersede KYC, Know Your Client, suitability, needs analysis, or any other regulatory requirements, and is intended for Canadian advisors.